thank you for your reaching out, for your love. Good to see faces this morning. We haven't seen in a while, and excited about what the Lord's going to do with this message. But I just want to thank y'all, deepest of my heart, for just being who you are, prayer warriors, and being my brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you lead us in opening prayer, please, for our offering? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Jesus this morning. My, my, my. It is so good to feel the presence of Almighty God in this place this morning. We welcome each and every one of you here by those that are live stream, especially those who are here with us this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Trust and hope, amen, that you're having a great and wonderful day. Each and every day that the Lord allows us to be here, amen, is truly a blessing. Amen. Let all of our people that are live streaming, let them know how much we are thankful that they're tuning in. Let me hear you clap for them this morning. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory. Let's just get into the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the praise team and the wonderful songs this morning? My, my, my. Amen. Listen, if you like good singing, you're going to love heaven. You're going to fit right in. Amen. We're going to sing. You might say, well, I can't sing now. Wait till you get over there. You're going to be able to sing. You're going to be in that heavenly choir. We're going to all sing praises unto the Lord forever and ever and ever. What a glorious time that will be. If you would, turn with us this morning to the book of Daniel in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. I promise I will not keep you standing long. In the second chapter of the book of Daniel, beginning with verse number 19. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse number 19. The Bible reads this way. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Gracious and heavenly Father, as we come this morning to thank you, God, Lord, to exalt your name. God, we're so thankful for your holy presence that we feel in this sanctuary this morning. For those, God, who've made their way here, God, I pray that you would just open up that window of heaven. Pour out of your blessing, pour out of your anointing. God, reach there this morning, God, and to those who are live streaming, touch those families, God, who are sick and afflicted. Touch those who are down and discouraged. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would just anoint these lips of clay, this vessel. God, that the Holy Spirit might speak to us this morning. God, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will. We're thankful for your word, God, and I pray, Lord, that it sink deep into our hearts this morning, God, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Turn around, wave to your neighbor. Let them know you love them this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, Look to the Light. I ask you to bear with me for just a few moments, if you would. During this particular week, there has been a constant phrase that I have been reminded of, that has been impressed upon my heart and upon my mind. How many thank God, are thankful that God speaks to us during our weekdays, during the time that we are not congregating one with another? Man, I'm so thankful for the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful that God still sees fit to speak to us. He is such a busy God. Amen. When you think about all of the prayers that are going up all over this world, in fact, if you just think about the prayers of Villarica alone, it is enough, amen, to keep Almighty God busy. But he is able, amen, he's omnipotent, all-powerful, not only to hear those prayers, amen, but answer those prayers as well. So I'm so thankful that God sees fit still to speak to us individually when we need his assurance, when we need his guidance, when we need his strength. And certainly this week I have had to depend on the strength and the wisdom of Almighty God. And it seemed like every time that my mind would stray, every time that I would tend to look at some of the busyness that is in the world today and some of the situations that are rising, God would speak to me, look to the light. Look to the light. I was driving the other morning and the light was so radiant. The sun was coming up. It was really, really beautiful. And I just thought, my Lord, you know, if we could keep our mind and our eyes on Almighty God, not look to the right, not look to the left, not look to the things that are transpiring in this world, but say, God, it's all in your hands. And I have to remind myself of that constantly. So as I begin to think and meditate on the light of God, I open the Word of God and I begin to search the Scriptures. And how many knows that we can find strength and guidance in the Scriptures, God's holy Word? Aren't you glad to know God's Word is still a living, vibrant Word? Amen. And I was reading any and everything that I could concerning the light. And I saw the many, many times in the Bible that the light is mentioned in a lot of different ways, and how that it always brings forth brightness and hope, and it is anti-darkness, and it's talking about not looking at the things of this world and keeping our mind and our eyes upon those, but looking spiritually to the light of heaven and to the light of God, which illuminates us with His Spirit that dwells within us. And as the many, many scriptures that I read, and they were all encouraging, but I was led to the book of Daniel. And you might think the book of Daniel may want to be the last places that you might look to find the illumination of God's Spirit. Let me tell you that Psalms is filled with different analogies and different scriptures and different verses about the light of God. And if you ever feel down and depressed, go to the book of Psalms. There's encouraging words there. And I spent most of this week in the book of Psalms. But as I said, for some reason in my reference, I was led to Daniel and what he wrote here concerning the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And I ask you to bear with me for just a moment while I lay a little bit of groundwork to get where I want to get to today. We find that Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, and this was the time when Babylon was at its peak in strength and might. And they had brought captives back. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and also Daniel. They were known as some of the princes of Israel. They were known of some that had a good spirit about them. They was wise beyond their years. And the king of Babylon wanted to include them into his province, and he wanted to convert them to his ways, and because he saw something in them, and many of the Israelites were just common slaves and were enslaved to Babylon at this particular time. But the king saw something in these special men, and they were near and dear to the king. And we find that the king had a very troubling dream. The Bible expressly tells us that it troubled his spirit, and he began to call on the magicians. In fact, let me just read it in the first two verses of the second chapter. It said, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him, or would not come to him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams, so that they came and stood before the king." Now the situation was that the king could not remember his dream. He remembered that it was troubling. He remembered that it was frightening. But he could not explain adequately what he dreamed. So he was looking for these astrologers, these Chaldeans, these readers of dreams, and people that could tell, supposedly, according to him, tell him the meaning of the dreams. He wanted them to not only interpret the dream, but tell him what he dreamed. And they could not. How many knows that Satan cannot do what God can do? I mean, he knows that the world has tried to counterfeit the power of God. Satan has been trying to counterfeit the power of God since the very beginning of time, even in the Garden of Eden. But he can't do what God can do. Amen. He can only look the part. He can only act the part. Amen. But God is still greater than anything that this world has to offer. So he said, "Tell me this dream and interpret this dream, and you'll be greatly rewarded." Well, they reasoned among themselves, and one spoke and said, King, there is no person alive that can reveal to you the dream and its interpretation. The king became very wroth, and in his anger, he declared that all of the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, and the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. He was so troubled in his spirit, and he could not find the answer. He could not find anyone in his kingdom to tell him what this dream was and what it meant. So he just said, have them all killed. Now, the important thing about this is within this group of people was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were considered the wise men of Babylon, even though they were of Israeli birth. So Daniel found out about it through one of the guards and one of the captains of the guard. Daniel began to go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, men, we got to pray. God spoke to me. Sometimes you need the help of your brothers and sisters to pray. Sometimes it's so troubling. Sometimes it's so overbearing. Sometimes it just absolutely overwhelms you. And it's not because you don't have faith. It's not because you hadn't seen that God is working and can work. But you just need the help and the faith of your brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, instead of getting on the phone, instead of getting on Facebook, get a hold of two or three brothers or sisters and let's begin to pray for a mighty move of God. If you're troubled in your spirit, I know someone. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. And he can soothe and take care of whatever situation or problem that is arising within your spirit. But the king got so mad, he said, just kill them all. Destroy them all. Because he wanted the interpretation. It troubled him that much. So Daniel, in faith, told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, let's pray. And then he tells the captain of the guards, go and tell the king that I will interpret his dream. Now, Daniel had no idea what the dream was. And how could you adequately interpret something that you don't even know what the dream was? You husbands, let me give you an analogy. When you look at your wife and you say, honey, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Well, how can I fix it, baby, if nothing is wrong? Are you sure nothing's wrong? And you know within your heart that something is wrong. And you begin to think, what did I say? What did I do? What did I not do? What do I need to do? It's hard to get to the bottom of the problem when you don't know what the problem is. So Daniel's thinking within his own wisdom and his own intellect, there is no way I'm going to be able to stand before the king and interpret his dream, amen, unless the Lord reveal it to me. But by faith, he said, go and tell the king. We're going to interpret the dream. Then I'm going to go pray. Glory to
what faith? Glory to God.
Had that been some of the Daniels of today, we would not put forth an effort until we had a clear and concise answer from God. We would not step out on faith because we don't know that God might not do it. But Daniel said, go and tell the king. I'm going to interpret the dream, and I'm going to go fall on my knees, and I'm going to begin to pray. How do you know that, Brother Eddie? Because Daniel prayed when the king said, you can't pray. We're going to make it illegal to pray. They might try to make it illegal to pray today, but I need some Daniels. I need some faith warriors. I need some people to say, I'm going to pray regardless of what they tell me I can and cannot do. So he goes to pray. And listen, God doesn't reveal it to him right away. Had that been some of us, we'd been wringing our hands, worrying and fretting over, God, you got to give me the answer. But you know what he does? He goes to bed and goes to sleep. The Bible says he goes to his house. He tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, go pray. I'm going to go home, go to bed, go to sleep, because it's in God's hands. You can only do that if you focus on the light. When you're looking at darkness, you can't go to sleep good. Come on, you can't even operate good. You can't even glorify and praise God when all you're thinking about is dark things and looking at dark things, and you don't see any hope and you don't see any ray of sunshine. But you take somebody who says, you know what? It's in God's hands. I'm going to look to the light. I'm going to go home and sleep. I'm going to rest and place it in God's hands. Amen. And when you do that, God says, that's all I need. I need your faith, and I'm going to move a mighty miracle for you. So as Daniel is sleeping, God speaks to him in a vision. Glory to God. How many knows that sometimes God has to put us to sleep to speak to us? Glory to God. Amen. What do they call that? Anesthesiologist. They'll do things to you that if you was awake, you wouldn't dare let them do it. But when you're completely asleep, they can fix your heart. Amen. They can do all kind of things. God sometimes needs to fix our spirit, but He needs us to totally relax. Amen. And just let Him speak to us. So God speaks to Daniel, and He reveals the dream to him. So Daniel goes and stands before the king. And he begins to lay out the dream. Now listen, he doesn't only interpret the dream, he tells the king what he dreamed. The king is totally amazed that he can recite all of this. The king cannot recall his dream. No one could interpret it, but Daniel goes to the king. And he tells him, there was an image great and terrible. Now this gets the king's attention, because now suddenly he starts to remember his dream. And he does remember this. He remembers this great image, and it was terrible, and it was huge, and it was big. And Daniel's telling him what he dreamed. And then he begins to recall the dream, and he says, it was a great image of gold and silver and brass and iron and clay. Now the king is really taking attention, making really attentive to what Daniel is saying, because again, he's reliving his dream. And then Daniel begins to reveal, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Daniel lets him know later on, it was not me. It was not my intellect. It was not my wisdom. It was not my ability to interpret. This came from God. Hallelujah. When something comes from God, we need to take notice. When something comes from God, we need to listen. And if God says, look to the light, I want to look to the light. Amen. I want to take my eyes off of the darkness. I want to take my eyes off of the negativity. And I want to turn and focus my attention on the light, the giver of light himself. And Daniel goes on. God said, this is what it represents. It represents four strong and mighty kingdoms of which you are a part. You are that kingdom of Babylon now. Many Bible scholars believe that the second mighty kingdom that was to rise and take the place of Babylon was the kingdom of Persia, only to be taken by the next one was Greek. The Greeks would arise through Alexander the Great. And then finally, the fourth kingdom was the Roman Empire. But he also said, in your dream of four great and mighty kingdoms, there was a stone. Some of you Bible readers get excited. That was cut out of the mountain. But no man's hand cut it out of the mountain. And the stone that was cut out of the mountain came down, and it broke into pieces all the kingdoms that were there. He broke down the feet of clay and brass. He broke down the knees and the loins. He broke down the abdomen part, amen, of silver and gold. He broke all of those kingdoms, letting us know that the kingdom of God supersedes every kingdom that is on this earth. It's going to come to naught. It's going to fall down. Don't worry about who's in charge. Don't worry about where the throne is. Just know that there is a stone that's coming down out of the mountain, and it's going to break into pieces every government, every kingdom that stands upon this earth.
And the king was amazed. And he told Daniel. He gave him all the rewards and all of those things. Amen. That comes along with that. The stone will be the mighty kingdom of God. And then Daniel says that God reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness. I find myself sometimes trying to remind God what's in the darkness. What I see naturally. But this study has reminded me that God already sees it. He already knows the darkness. He knows the bleakness. He knows the sadness. He knows the sorrow. He knows the situations that we endure within this world. But He is encouraging us not to look at the darkness. Not to look at the situations around us. Because it is temporal. Temporary. But God's kingdom is eternal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A kingdom not made with hands. A stone that came down out of the mountain. Glory to God. Broke all the kingdoms down. Set up His heavenly kingdom. A part that I'm going to be a civilian. Amen. I'm going to be a citizen. Amen. Of that glorious kingdom of God. How many is looking forward to the day when God sets up His holy kingdom. Amen. And comes and redeems those. Amen. Who have been true to Him and been filled with His glorious Spirit. He knows what is in the darkness. And God said, look to the light. Look to the light. I thought about so many times this week as I was reading and as I was studying. I was asking God, God help me. Lift me up, God. Encourage me. And I was thinking about how different things look when you turn the light on. Things that you hadn't seen before are suddenly visualized. Church, can I encourage you to let the spiritual light of God illuminate your life? Illuminate your walk with God. Illuminate your prayer life. Because if you don't, you're going to see gloom. You're going to see darkness. You're going to see serious things in this world. But God says, look to the light. Look to the light. Now, listen to what Daniel said. In verse number 22. Let me read 21 first. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. And setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Listen to this. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. He goes on to say later that it wasn't anything attributed to him. It was all attributed to God. I encourage you to let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to your life. Let Him illuminate the darkness, the fear, the anxiety, the situations that you may be coping with on a daily basis. And it could be a number of different things. I remember with Kevin, it seemed like for the first 21 days we were in total darkness. We were in so much darkness that we couldn't even get a straight and right answer from any of the doctors. Penny and I were looking for just a ray of hope. And all we got was negativity. All we got was, we're trying, we're doing all that we can. There's a very strong possibility that your son won't live if he does, blah, blah, blah. And all you saw was darkness. And I just really, really begin to pray and ask God. And I know I've told you this before, but God illuminated that scripture, 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. I read it on a Tuesday night. I had gone home, or come back to Villarica from Eggleston Hospital. Penny was there with Kevin, sitting with him all night. And mother said, she fixed me supper and I ate with her and Daddy. And she said, don't go home. Just stay here. Go back to your old room and sleep tonight. And so I did. And there was a Bible there on my little nightstand. So I took it and opened it up, and it was like a light turned on. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. How many knows that sometimes you don't have to read five chapters to get to hear from God? Now, if you got the time and you want to really study, get into those five chapters and just keep reading. And I call it binge reading. But sometimes maybe you just need one scripture. You just need one word of encouragement. That's seemingly all I needed that night. It's almost like God said, just close your Bible, go to sleep. Amen. The next day, the very next day, when I went back to Eggleston Hospital, and there were a doctor that came in and said that we want to meet with you in the consultation room. And there were three doctors there meeting with us. And Penny, I think, had already come home. We were kind of just taking turns. And they began to talk to me. And they began to tell me then, you know, how serious that Kevin was. And not only, you know, that he was going to have difficulty, but he had at best, they said, a 50% chance of life. And, you know, that's darkness. But in my mind, somehow, I was able to turn from that and look to that spiritual illumination that God led me the night before. And it enlightened again that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And I had to trust in that. I heard what they said, and I thanked them for being honest and frank with me. And I told them, certainly, we want to do everything medically possible for him. Whatever it takes, we want to do it. But my faith, amen. God already gave me the answer last night, and I'm putting my faith and trust in His Word. Thank you for your medical advice, but I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. I'm not going to look at the dark things. I'm going to look at the light. And thank God that Kevin is still with us, amen. He has difficulties, but he is still with us today. He's in that back room. And I thank God for that. You can't dwell on the darkness. You got to turn from the darkness and look to the light. Daniel said, the light dwelleth with him. I want to read something for us this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in John, the third chapter, I want to leave us with this. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Don't look at this. Don't see what we're doing. We're operating in the darkness, because we don't want you to know what those evil people are doing, because the light would illuminate it. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The light has come to the world in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And that light is alive and well today. Amen. And it is encouraging us to turn from the darkness, turn from the evil, turn from the wickedness in this world, and turn to the light. Look unto the light. For in the light there is redemption. Into the light there is salvation. Not only do I want to look into the light, but I want to walk in the light. I don't want to operate in darkness. In fact, I want the light of God to illuminate my very path. Whatever I do, whatever I say, every act that I do in this world, I want it to be done in the illumination of God's Holy Spirit. I need His light. Can't dwell in darkness. Can't operate in darkness anymore. Can encourage you to turn to the light this morning. I'm going to ask our musicians if they would come this morning. There's an old song that's been on my heart and on my mind this week. We're going to try to do that this morning. It's one that we used to sing with the trio, my dad and my aunt. They're both singing in heaven now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm going to ask them to help us this morning. Amen. If we possibly can. Glory to God.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Got any saved folks in the house? Let's do it in the God key of G. Let Him always walk beside me. Let Him take my hand and guide me. Just let me live in the light of His love till I reach that great tomorrow, where there will be no more pain and sorrow. Just let me live in the light of His love. Oh, let me live.
One more time, church. Well, let me live. me live in the light of His love. Aren't you thankful for the light this morning? Give Him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise His holy name. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, God is so good. And He knows what we need to hear when we need to hear it. And He's reaching out right now for each and every one of us. It's been spoken through the message, through His light, through His love, and His love. Somebody asked you once, or asked me once, you know, what is God to you? I said, it's love. He said, well, what's Jesus? I said, that's love. And that's exactly what's happening this morning. And I just want to let you know, as Brother Eddie puts his stuff away, the altar's open if anyone has any prayer requests. Those of you that are watching on the live feed or even at a later date, we follow up on the comments. If you have a prayer request, please put it in there and we'll pray with you. But this altar is open and this is me personally, I said this earlier. This is the day. This is the day. You don't have to carry these burdens with you, these struggles. You know, by faith, as Daniel did, by faith, we're going to step out. We've seen a lot of miracles in this church. We know a lot of prayers are being answered. Not only those that we've got our eyes on, but those that we can testify. Yes. But also for those unseen that we know God is doing right now. And we're just going to take this time now and just lift the Lord up. Please, this altar's open if someone has a need. All righty. Well, one thing that we're going to do, and I'm going to ask, I don't like to put Miss Elaine, I get that look if I say too much, but I want to thank all of those that are involved in the shoeboxes and in this Samaritan's Purse. And for the any of y'all that follow Billy Graham or the Samaritan's Purse, it's not just the Christmas shoeboxes that we see here this morning. But through their ministries, I was seeing this week that their trucks have been going into some of the storm-ridden areas. And there's so many in need. We have other ministries that's going up to West Virginia and going up to Virginia's, I guess I want to say it right. And they are just asking, you know, God just reaches. And it's like I said, such a giving church. But we're going to take a moment now as we get ready, right before we close. And for any of you that would like to gather around with us as we pray over these shoeboxes. This is just a sample of the number of boxes. As a matter of fact, Elaine and I were in Carrollton yesterday and I saw another church or another place. They had a few of them in the window and they were saying it was a place you could, you know, if you wanted to give. But these are for people, the children, that right now we don't even know. We know the needs in our own personal life, our home, our community. But we know there's a needs that are out there. But most of all, we want them to know Jesus. You know, whether it be through a pair of socks or some toothpaste or for some jacks. Do people still play with jacks? Or marbles or yo-yos, you know, my generation. Matter of fact, Miss Elaine found me some gazoos because I wanted to put gazoos in there this year. So we're just going to ask y'all if you would join with us in prayer, whether you're comfortable coming up or you'd like to do it from where you're at. There's no things. We're just going to anoint a few of them as a token, but God knows each and every one. So if anyone would like to pray with us, but it's for God's Spirit, for Jesus Christ to go into the world from the highways to byways, nation to nation, and for Him just to touch. So if anybody would like to join us, and it's not just I mentioned Elaine's name because there's too many to mention, but for those of you that have given, those of you that are giving now, the postage, every situation that's done, we're just going to go right now and just praise the Lord because Jesus Christ is to be known from world to from end to end. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Brother Chris, would you lead us in our prayer over these?
Feel Your presence, Father God, with me.
Praise God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for those that have put the, whatever it is, monetary or the fiscal situation here. But you know, God knows each and every one of you. And it's not just here. This is just a small token. Just like this church, this building is just a small portion of God's house, God's church. And you carry it with you wherever you go with His Holy Spirit. But we love each and every one of you. Again, if anyone needs prayer this morning, we're open. It's so good to see some of y'all we haven't seen in a while, our visitors. And just if you haven't filled out a visitor card, please fill it out before you leave this morning. Be with us at service tonight at 6. Just praise God. We just love each and every one of you. And we're just, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace, dear Lord, that you've shined on each and every one of us, dear Lord. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, may we just, as we're leaving here, dear Lord, fuller than we were when we came, dear Lord. There is no loneliness, there is no emptiness that you're not greater than. And, dear Lord, we're thanking you for healing. We're thanking you for every prayer request, every hand that was raised today in need. Dear Lord, whether it be here live or on the feed that's watching us, dear Lord, right now, dear Lord, may they feel your presence. Lord, may the Holy Ghost, dear Lord, you just reign amongst each and every one of us. Lord, we ask now for your protection. And, Lord, for your guidance as we go forward. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we thank you for your many, many blessings. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord.